What's known in Swahili as a kipper lefty? The answer to that at the end of the show. My name's Tom Scott, and this is Lateral. Welcome, everybody, to this session of Trivia Geeks Anonymous. My name's Tom. I am a trivia geek, and it has been 23 months since I last played Trivial Pursuit. Today, we are joined by the team from Answer in Progress. Welcome back to the show, Sabrina Cruz.
Hello. The cat is also here. There he is. Meow for the camera.
No, now the cat is next to the microphone. The cat is silent.
He's found the celery stick. I'm going to pull him away from that.
Also from Answer in Progress, Taha Khan.
Hello, I am also from Answer in Progress.
I just said that. Do you have a cat?
I do not have a cat or pet of any sort. So my audio will be perfect.
And also from Answer in Progress, Melissa Fernandez.
Hello, I don't have a cat. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing in this situation.
This feels like a targeted attack, but okay.
Our show is just like the snacks aisle at a supermarket. It's full of beguiling treats that sometimes are just outside of your reach. But will the questions drive you nuts or crackers? I apologize for that joke.
I liked it. Stand by it, you coward.
We start off with question number one. Question number one is short and simple. Why is there a bar symbol on one-armed bandits? I'll say that again. Why is there a bar symbol on one-armed bandits?
I didn't understand. I understand those words as individual things.
I don't know why the question is phrased as one-armed bandit. Do any of the three people here know what a one-armed bandit is?
No.
A criminal with one arm.
See, I thought this was... This is a phrase that I know from, like, American pop culture from the past, but it's very much out of date. So you know what? Stage one of this question is, what's a one-armed bandit?
Yeah.
And you're telling me it isn't a bandit with one arm?
No, and it has a bar symbol on it.
I don't even know what a bar symbol is.
Is it a location? Like, is it a person?
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's a thing with one arm that steals your money.
Is it like the parking, like when you enter and leave a parking lot and it has like the little arm where it's like, you could go in.
Oh,
like that.
That's a lovely guess. It's not, but I can see why you went for that.
Is it the little cat that comes out of a box and takes the penny in those cheap Chinese toys that you can get from places?
Ooh. Not quite. Not even close, sorry. But you're coming up with wonderful suggestions for one-armed bandits.
Raise my hopes.
The arm is something that you pull down yourself.
Oh, it's a slot machine.
Yes. One-armed bandit is an old term for a slot machine.
Interesting. So, okay.
Why do they have a bar symbol on those old-fashioned slot machines?
Okay, what is a bar symbol? Is it... like a drinking bar?
None of us have been to a casino.
Wow.
We are all zoomers.
This is a wonderfully mistargeted question. Did none of you, like, play fruit... I mean, we call them fruit machines or slot machines in the UK. Did none of you, like, play those as a kid?
As a child?
As a kid.
What is happening in the United Kingdom?
Okay.
I've seen it before.
I've only just realised how weird it is that children can play slot machines in the UK.
I didn't know that was a thing.
That is actually really, really weird now I think about it. But it was such a part of my childhood and, like, seaside arcades that I never even thought to question that. That's really weird.
Yeah, it is. I would have liquidated my assets and put it all into slots. As a four-year-old.
Like, there's a limit on the amount of... Like, you can only bet maybe 5 or 10 pence at a time.
You can bet money?
Yeah, and the jackpots are limited to, like, £2 or £3. But, yeah, there's no age restriction on those machines. Oh, now I say that out loud. That's bizarre.
What I'm hearing is you can get a 30x return. Good investment.
To all the four-year-olds listening.
To all the boss babies out there.
No, hold on. I'm going to defend my country and my childhood just a little bit here. I'm not sure that's worse than those machines where you just put some money in it and it gives you useless tokens you redeem for prizes. I'm not sure that's actually... better or worse.
But I think the stance that we should have is that both of those things are bad.
For children.
Agreed. Yes. Like, don't worry, I've read there's a great book called Addiction by Design, which is like, this is how bad slot machines are for people and humanity. And it's this really bleak academic book. And I never really connected that to, no, I would go to the seaside as a kid and like put a pound into slot machines and occasionally make a profit. And now I say that out loud. That sounds so bad.
Why is it specifically that's the crazy. Seaside?
Yeah.
That's
like where the bandits are.
The UK has a lot of coastline, and like that's where you would find like amusement arcades and things like that would be where people go on holidays.
Okay.
So traditionally that would be the seaside.
Mm.
This entire thing is so weird now I say it out loud. I've never made that connection in my head. So imagine, if you will, an old-timey slot machine. with the spinny reels on it and things like that.
We don't mean to make you feel old.
And yet.
We're just youthful, you know? What can we say? Oh, dear.
I feel like I should make us feel better that I have seen one in real life before. Very recently, too. So.
Did you see the bar symbol? Was there a little plaque that it was explaining?
Are you talking about the word bar? Because, like, the word bar. Yes. Yeah. Seen that.
Okay.
Don't know why it's there.
That's the question. Good. We've got to the question.
We've got to the question.
We're there now. We're there.
We've established all the terms.
So it's not just numbers and words. What else is on there traditionally?
Diamonds. Cherries.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason we call them fruit machines in the UK.
My favorite fruit. Diamonds. Sorry.
Yeah. It used to be cherry, melon, orange, everything like that.
Oh.
They have these at service stations.
And pubs.
Yeah.
They have slot machines in pubs and...
Yeah.
Truly a different country.
That is true.
I mean, also that's true in like Oregon and a couple of other US states and all of Australia.
Probably Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Nevada, obviously.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know if there are many slot machines in Vegas. Okay. No. So they have these
symbols.
Do they
do gambling in Vegas?
I don't think so. It's like the middle of a desert. No. Why would anyone be there?
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, so there are these symbols on these cylinders. The goal is to get them to match up in a certain way. These symbols apparently used to be primarily fruit-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
But
and then one that just says bar.
Just says the word bar. It doesn't look like a big saloon sign that says saloon.
Nope.
Is it that if all three say bar, like in a row, you have to go to the bar and be like, hey, I just got all three... in a row, so you have to give me like a big amount of money. It's like the winner. It's like I can't dispense this amount of money, so you have to go to the
bar. So you're actually fairly close on that. The reason is not because you were in a bar or that you might have to go to the bar, but it is a different definition of that word. Yes.
Well, a bar is like a table, right? Like it's just a location. It's also like
bar none. You could also have like bar none. I don't know what the word bar is doing in that sentence, actually. But, like, bar none would be, like... I'm trying to understand what that definition
is. It's like save anything else, right?
You've not found the right definition of that yet.
So,
okay.
So it has nothing to do with gold bars.
That's the right definition of the word, though.
Oh, it is?
It's not gold bars, but it's something like that.
Chocolate?
You know those big chunks of cash? Like, the big stacks has a little band around it. I guess those are called bands.
I was going to say it's like if you get three of them, you've lost too much money and they're like you're barred from this machine for a bit. But we're clearly already on.
They're never going to do that.
Yeah.
So it's a bar of something. It's representative of like other things. If they match up, it'll spit out coins or whatever. But if you get the three bars at some point.
Bars of silver? Is it just silver?
Well, you say it'll spit out money at some point. It's not necessarily true for very early slot machines.
Very early slot machines. They wouldn't spit out coins or money. What did you say? That they wouldn't spit out coins or money?
They wouldn't spit out money.
Ah.
So was it only... Maybe... Was it representative of like the only winning option was bar? And that's the only time that you win?
Yep. So what might you win? Given what else is on those reels?
A basket of fruits.
Fruit bar. Or a drink. Could you win a drink?
Oh! No.
What was that, Melissa?
Like a fruit? No, wait, no.
A fruit
Did
bar?
I say fruit? A fruit bar? No, that doesn't make sense.
I mean...
They get a fruit salad? Like you go to like a buffet?
You're close enough, I'm going to give you it. It's a bar of chewing gum.
You are not machines. Close at all. You're being far too gracious.
I mean, yes, but we did start at the process where no one really recognized the phrase one-armed bandit, so I feel like we've blundered our way through a very, very difficult maze there.
Well, now it makes sense why it was open for children, if the things that you win is like a little piece of gum.
Yeah, there's a lot of old traditions that the gambling laws haven't quite caught up with. It was originally... you put some coins in, you spin the wheel, maybe you'll get a bar of gum at a very cheap price. Maybe it will just remind you of the flavors of gum you could win with the fruits on the reels.
Ooh.
This sounds a lot more child-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Child-friendly in sort of like a lifetime of addiction kind of way.
Listen, we're out here using TikTok, Taha. What are you talking
That's
about?
That's also true. Yeah. I'm judging, but like, you know. I've wasted a day to TikTok before.
As ever, our guests have brought in a question as well, and I don't know the question, I don't know the answer. Good luck to all of us. We're going to start this time with Melissa.
All right. This listener question has been sent in by Dennis Montagner. So, here we go. During an international soccer match one evening in May 2018... the Tunisian goalkeeper lay down on the ground during the second half so that the rest of his team could run off the pitch to find their dates. Why? I'll say that one more time. During an international soccer match one evening in May of 2018, the Tunisian goalkeeper lay down on the ground during the second half so that the rest of his team could run off the pitch to find their dates. Why?
I thought writing things down would help me, but I'm
just... Do you want me to say it a third time?
No. I'm bad. I'm stupid. That's why.
Okay. So we lay down on the ground. So potentially faking an injury of some sort to like run down the clock.
Mm.
Oh, I was thinking it was some kind of weird strategy or something like that. I was thinking he was just kind of laying down in front of the goal and leaving an open goal, but...
I'm still thrown off by finding their dates. Like, aren't they busy? Are they not playing a game?
Are they not doing
right
their
now?
Job?
Does dates mean like the? It means like somebody that they were like seeing for the evening at least. So it was like
not a like, they didn't have like
they didn't
labeled the like the fruit and been like, this is my one. I need to go find my one.
What was your question, Sabrina?
They were talking about like they were going to go find people they were like spending some sort of time with.
No,
the fruit
so it was dates. I've got it. Yes, they were lying down because they were fasting and they went to break their fast.
Close enough.
May 2018.
That is correct.
Wait, this was the World Cup. I remember this. Was this? Is this correct?
I don't know if it... Yes, it was the World Cup.
Yeah, I remember this.
And the sun had just set, so...
Yeah.
And it's during Ramadan.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Nice.
Yes.
I just remembered that from the depths of my soul.
That was great. Serena, your question... your question kind of gave the key there.
I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't have gotten it. I think that it's still just mean to...
I had a thing in my head saying, make a joke about the dates being like the fruit. And then I thought, no, I'm not going to ask that one. That you always say the stupid thing. It might actually turn
that
out.
Good. That was good. So the goalkeeper lay down on the ground so that the teammates could break their fast because it was during Ramadan.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Next question is back to me, and it's a bit of a mystery one, this. This isn't based on real events. This is just a hypothetical for you. A sleeping woman is found at the arrivals lounge at Heathrow Airport, London. She has no possessions or ID with her. However, once security guards saw she was wearing her watch upside down, they knew which country she'd been visiting. Where was she from? I'll say that again. A sleeping woman is found at the arrivals lounge at Heathrow Airport, London. She has no possessions or ID with her. However, one security guard saw she was wearing her watch upside down. They knew which country she'd been visiting. Where was she from?
This is like a riddle.
Yeah.
Is it like someplace with like a 12-hour time difference? So then she remembers the location, but if she wants to call like family or whatever, she has to account for that time difference. So she wants to know the local time.
I mean, a 12-hour time difference
is, in fact, just the same watch. I'll pass away now. It's fine. It was... 6 hours?
Would you like to rephrase the answer?
I'm not fully conscious. Is it 6 hours or 24? It's six, right?
Yes.
Six.
You are actually really close with that one. You are rattling through this, but that's not quite right. That wouldn't really work if you turned your watch upside down.
A fish out of watch.
What kind of a watch? Was it
a digital watch or an analog watch?
It was analog.
Okay.
This is a riddle. Do you think they have Apple Watches and riddles?
Maybe.
Yeah, they were using the smart watch face on the new Apple Watch.
Does the Apple Watch have an accelerometer in it? So if you flip it round the other way...
Probably. I don't know. I don't have an Apple Watch.
This is an analog wristwatch.
Okay.
She's got... it doesn't flip upside down.
Okay.
It's just locked there my watch.
Go. I've got it. Because this is a riddle... The horse's name was Friday. We've nailed it. We can go to the next one.
Okay.
You are actually almost right, Sabrina. You're in definitely the right area, but 6 hours would not work for turning your watch upside down.
Upside down? Because I don't have like a clock face like available to me, but I just stay in this room, this timeless room of void. But... I think that if you turn the watch face upside down, the time will go backwards. Am I wrong?
I found the watch.
No, okay. Yeah, I'm wrong.
No, it'll still keep going clockwise.
Yeah, I'll still go clockwise. It doesn't invert.
I really thought that looking at a watch face would suddenly just unlock it for me. It means nothing.
It was just like someone from a Christopher Nolan film.
Would you like to... Okay, so this is the watch right side up. Uh-huh. And then it does this. I flipped it upside down. And it feels like it's been mirrored on some axis.
So the top of the watch would say 6, but it's upside down, so it would say 9.
Oh.
Right?
Hmm?
Wait.
No, it would say 12.
No.
Am I wrong?
Wait.
This is truly a humiliating episode for the Zoomers on this call. We don't know what a slot machine is. We have not looked at an analog watch face in a very long time.
To be fair, I realized I've lost the ability to intuitively tell the time. Like in my childhood, I could look at a clock and go, yes, I know what time it is now. Whereas now I do have to go, yeah, and just kind of work it out. Like I've lost that ability.
No, 6 is at the bottom. I'm not crazy.
Yeah, 6 is at the bottom, but when you flip it upside down, 6 moves to the top and then 12 moves to the bottom.
No, I understand that, but isn't the actual symbol of 6 turned around?
Oh, 6 upside down becomes 9. You went deep into the riddle.
So what I'm saying is that maybe like it was 9 in the other country and 12 and 6 in the normal country. So 3 hours.
But it would only work for that one number, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. But like, you only need the one number to tell the time.
A broken clock is always right twice.
As in, I don't know. I mean, the clock
you're
that
definitely
I...
on the right line, Sabrina. What is that movement doing to the time? When you turn that watch upside down, what happens?
So this truly is just us unable to parse this clock.
Okay, so it's 6.
All of our brain cells together.
So it's 6 hours. The difference is 6 hours.
Because it rotates on a weird axis, though, because it's by minutes as well. It's a half hour. So it's one of those, countries with a half hour difference as well.
So it's 6.5 hours.
Newfoundland.
Oh, so you are nearly right on 6.5, but not quite. And completely, utterly wrong on Newfoundland.
Damn it.
5.5 hours.
Yes, you're right there. Okay. If you turn that watch upside down, you have to nudge the hour hand a bit in your head, but it's roughly five and a half hours by changing that.
I have a question. Does anyone know the time difference to Australia? Because I know Australia has half hour time differences because one of the time zones uses the Korean time zone. So maybe they were either in Korea or in Australia, because I know they both have half hour time differences.
There is one other major country with a half hour time difference. And if you don't know it, you don't know it. But
and I know the other two. That's crazy.
Yeah, you unfortunately know the other two. There is one very major country that is about 5 hours east. You're in the right area. You're not quite there with China.
Not Korea, not Australia.
So what's in that region? Like Mongolia, Kazakhstan, Uzbeks. I'm moving this way.
I'm just gonna guess this so that I don't feel shame. Is it Pakistan?
Not quite.
India.
India is absolutely the right answer. India has a 5.5 hour time difference. Hmm. So there is a trick, which apparently Narendra Modi told like to the entire Wembley Stadium audience when he was, performing there, holding a rally there. You can turn the watch upside down and that will convert you between Indian time and UK time.
Cool. That is so cool.
The next question comes from Sabrina. Go for it.
All right. This is a listener question that's been sent in by Lewis FS. If you look at a British home constructed in the late 18th century, it is likely that its bricks are larger than those in a house from the early part of that century. Why? I'll say it again. If you look at a British home constructed in the late 18th century, it is likely that its bricks are larger than those in a house from the early part of that century. Why?
I mean, the comedy answer is inflation, but that's, you know.
Somebody was outside blowing air into a brick.
Would it just take less time
to build?
To construct because they're bigger pieces? Less time to put it together? From her facial expressions, that was a no.
No. It's not a no per se. It's like you're on the right track, but it isn't necessarily answering the question of why.
Is it because they invented some like building tool that allows them to move larger bricks so they could build faster because they're bigger bricks and they had the ability like a crane, like a rudimentary crane to like build houses.
They had aliens.
You can move a brick by just picking it up.
Yeah, but like
unless people got stronger.
Yeah, everyone just started working out.
No, there was no technological reason for this shift.
Oh, okay. So the only bit I know about old buildings back then is that there was a window tax. There's a place where I can't remember the name, but there's a big old mansion, stately home somewhere in the Midlands that was known as More Glass Than Wall because it was ostentatious. They were putting windows everywhere to show off that they had money because you were charged by the window, by the how much glass you had in your building. I don't know how that would affect the size of bricks, though. I'm just trying to vaguely... If we're talking about non-technological reasons that change why buildings look...
Well, because I was thinking, like, in my head, you know those like massive bricks that go on the inside of a building and then they put the nice outside bricks up?
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking
blocks.
Breeze blocks. Yeah, maybe I was thinking that they invented breeze blocks.
I'll say that, Tom, you're not right, but you're inching. You're getting there.
Okay. It's a legal change then. It's some...
Is it literally as straightforward as the legal requirement for a brick increased?
No.
Oh, did the tax on the brick increase per brick? Like there was a half...
So good.
Like you were charged a penny per 100 bricks tax, and the solution was just to make really big bricks.
That has to be...
It absolutely is.
Oh my gosh.
Do you guys want to know why there was this tax that was implemented?
Money. They wanted to make more money.
Well, that is usually why you would implement a tax.
I love
being
right.
Did it specifically target some group who were building like big brick places or something like that?
It was more so for a specific cause. Think about the era. It's the late 18th century. What's been going on?
Was this... Oh, this is where my history knowledge shows up wrong. Is this like King John and the Crusades and like the... I'm just thinking like Robin Hood, and I think that was centuries earlier now.
Not quite. It wasn't quite that time, but it...
No, that was centuries earlier, wasn't it?
Yeah. Should I just tell you? You guys figured out that it was a brick tax, and it was to pay off the American Revolutionary War.
Oh!
Mm-hmm. Huh.
But
that's a random tax to add.
Yeah.
Sometimes in my head, the dates, despite the dates being the same, yeah, of course, late 18th century does not feel like American Revolutionary War to me.
Mm.
For some reason, that doesn't feel like the right definition of there. Late 18th century feels like, oh, that's centuries ago. That's medieval.
Yeah.
No, it's not. That's the American Revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's also the fact that, like, all of us were born around or before the 90s. We were born in the late 20th century, y'all. What's it like?
I used turn of the century in a video a while back without really thinking about it to mean the turn to the 21st century. And that confused a lot of people who just haven't kind of internalized that yet.
Yeah,
that's fair.
But to answer, like, to get it all together, this tax for these bricks was introduced to recoup the cost of the American Revolutionary War. The word excise on the brick showed that tax had been paid on them. And from 1803, an act was introduced that charged double duty for bricks over 10 by 5 inches. So you couldn't keep scamming the system. Yeah.
What we've done is we've taken one massive brick and carved it out from inside it.
Yes. But interestingly, bricks used in constructing or repairing churches were exempt from this form of taxation.
My last big question of the show, then. On the night of October 5th, 2001, people in a motley assortment of boats, inflatables, kayaks and canoes waited in McCovey Cove, a small inlet of San Francisco Bay, hoping to catch a possible fortune. What was that fortune? I'll say that again. On the night of October 5th, 2001, people in a motley assortment of boats, inflatables, kayaks and canoes waited in McCovey Cove, a small inlet of San Francisco Bay, hoping to catch a possible fortune. What was that fortune?
So I know that at some point, because you made a video on it, they spilled Lego into the sea.
Yes, a lot of Lego.
A lot of Lego. So was there like a limited edition Lego that they were all trying to find?
I love that. Unfortunately, not. That plastic tends to get washed in with the tide onto a beach. So you'd have to be kind of sifting through sand for that. You'd also somehow have to track a single piece of Lego from, like, a container ship accident 100 miles away, which would be a little bit tricky.
So does it have anything to do with, like, something spilling out into the ocean?
In a very, very vague sense, yes.
Wow.
I don't know why my head immediately went to this, but is it like something visual? Like, is it like a sunset or something like settling in? Like, you know those big moons when people are like, oh yeah, it's the big moon day. Look outside, the moon is so big. Is it like one of those?
Weirdly, for the questions in this show, it's actually less metaphorical than that.
Okay.
They're not just trying to hope to catch the sunset. They're not catching the sunset and that's their fortune that they've earned in their hearts. No, this is very much trying to catch a fortune.
So this is 2001.
2001, October.
And something spilled, you said.
Spilled is something we came up with.
Oh,
spill
okay.
is something you came up with. I'm saying very vaguely it's something that's spilling into the ocean.
A small fortune. Did they mint the first Bitcoin that was in the sea?
I hate you.
Because all I'm thinking is San Francisco is Silicon Valley. And I'm just, I don't know. I feel like it's something technological in nature, maybe.
It's artificial. It's not necessarily technological.
Interesting.
Oh, interesting. Is it alive?
No. Well, the people in the bay are, hopefully, but...
the small fortune isn't alive.
Okay.
The small fortune is this turtle.
Yeah.
But this actually happens fairly regularly. This one was special. There was a reason there were so many people there, but fairly regularly, there's people in this cove trying to find something, hoping to catch something.
Like microchips? Was there like a
NVIDIA graphics cards?
Fishing. Yeah. The reason I asked if there was anything alive was like maybe it's like some sort of sea creature that lives in that area that would be particularly valuable, but apparently not. It is NVIDIA graphics cards, Melissa.
There we go.
It's Silicon Valley. They need it for the Bitcoin mining.
Yeah, they are trying to catch a small fortune here.
And you said, am I just making this up, or did you say 1.2 million? Is that something?
You are entirely making that up. I've said no numbers at all.
Oh, okay. In my
Okay.
I guess that's what I think of as a small fortune. I guess
1.2 million.
What do you see this cove as looking like? So it's McCovey Cove, which honestly sounds like someone doing a Boaty McVote face, but I swear that's the name. What are you picturing this as?
Like a bowl, like an inverted bowl of stone.
I'm picturing a beach.
This is the San Francisco Bay, and it's not necessarily by the beach here.
Is it like Alcatraz?
Is it like a piece of the Golden Gate Bridge?
Ah. You're closer to the right area of the bay there.
Hmm. I don't know enough about San Francisco.
I wish we had recorded this a week from now. I'm going to San Francisco a week from now.
This is right next to a building. A lot of buildings, but one specific very large building. And there are just a lot of people floating in the ocean next to it.
What's a large building?
The Treasury.
A big bank.
They're just throwing out bags of money.
Leaking coins.
I mean, there is something coming out of that building at speed. If they catch it, it's going to be worth a lot of money.
At speed. Mm-hmm. Oh! Bow! Wah! Got it! Yeah! Somebody's famous home run ball! Sorry, I was doing a lot of sound effects.
I appreciate the sound effects.
Oracle Stadium looks out into this beautiful view of the bay. I imagine boats were there because somebody was going to hit some big number, some legendary number.
Yep, Barry Bonds' 71st home run in a season.
Bada bing!
And it's a small fortune to...
Barry Bonds, Taha?
Who is that?
He was mentioned in a Kanye song.
I don't know who that is. I know Kanye is the other one.
He's one of like the all-time greats. I think he has the record.
Yeah, but it's still baseball.
He got the record. He took the record from Mark McGwire, who got 70 home runs in a season. That ball was sold for $3 million. So you were almost right with $2 million there, Taha. So all these people in kayaks and canoes and inflatables were kind of just waiting there in case the ball comes out. And there's a regular crew of people who do this, but it's very rare that's going to be a ball that could make someone a fortune if they catch it.
Yeah, similarly. So I'm a relatively large fan of baseball. I went to like 15 Blue Jays games this year. And so one of the games that they played was against Aaron Judge, who was set to like break the record for the American League. Some region. I completely forgot the division that they play in. And so he was set to break that record. And so there was like this section of seats that was just empty. And everyone was hypothesizing like somebody had bought it out to like catch, to make sure that they could catch the ball because it was where he was more likely to hit it. So that's fun. I'm sorry, the vacuum is so loud. Somebody had said that they would buy that ball for $2 million.
Wow.
And it wasn't even a good record. It was like a mid record.
$2 million is what it costs for about 10 seats at a baseball match as well. So, you know.
I love baseball match.
Net neutral.
As it turned out, that home run was actually caught by a fan inside the stadium. So they were sadly disappointed outside. But
they didn't even get to watch the game.
No. But they got a lovely float out on the bay. So there's that.
They're in it for the money, not for the love of the sport.
Yeah. So, yes, the inflatables, kayaks and canoes on the San Francisco Bay on that day were there to try and catch a record baseball. So, one big question left in the show, and it's from Taha.
All right. In 1920, some US juice manufacturers would sell their wares as a brick. People could add the brick to a gallon of water to reconstitute the juice. On the packaging was a warning that virtually all their customers would ignore. Why?
I've got to sit out of this question. I know this one. So I'm going to sit out. Sabrina and Melissa, this one's on you.
Okay.
Do not bite the juice bar. I would be tempted immediately. Take a little crunch.
Yep. Will they still like sell that frozen juice concentrate? Mm. And I had to be talked out at one point. The first time I saw that, they were like, oh, what do you do with this? And someone was like, oh, no, it's like a frozen dessert. You just kind of like, and I kind of got to hear and they're like, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
Love that.
I still wish I had. I still wish I'd experienced that. I might go and buy some frozen juice shortly and just live out the dream.
Life is too short not to eat the forbidden snack. This is terrible advice. Cut it.
Tom Scott plus a juice bar.
Which incidentally is something you can win out of a slot machine. So
yeah, there you go.
Okay, Melissa, what do you think?
Well, what else would people do with it other than... Okay, hold on.
What type of warnings do we usually ignore? I ignore ones that are like, wait, use this specific... Like, if it's like, use bread flour, I'm like, I'm sorry. I only have one flour available. It's called all-purpose.
Sorry, this is an entire distraction, but I've wondered this question for a while. What the hell is all-purpose flour? The British definitions are like plain and self-raising, which is just we've added baking powder to it. I don't know what... It's all-purpose flour, just like plain flour?
I believe it's just plain flour.
Okay.
I had... We have an episode that we ended up scrapping. It's going to be a Patreon exclusive where we make bread. And I had this exact problem because we did this episode in Canada and none of the names of flour made any sense.
No.
It's terrible. I was at a disadvantage.
The desperation and pain. I'm sorry. Back on it. Okay, so there was a warning that was ignored. What follow-up questions
people just
we have?
Well, Sabrina, using this logic, you ignore the directions because why? You just want to be rebellious?
Because I'm an impatient monster. I want my juice now. I don't even like juice. I'm not going to lie. I'm one of those weirdos.
Okay, so the warning was written like with a nod and a wink. Like, don't. Not actually. They didn't have an emoji, but like, you know what I mean?
Don't drink this. This is not safe for human consumption. Oh, don't mix it with alcohol.
Close.
Prohibition.
Ooh.
It was during the Prohibition. You're so close. I'm like tempted to give it to you, but like.
Okay, Melissa, we're so close. Let's get there.
What?
So it was grape juice, if that helps.
Oh, this whole time I thought it was orange juice.
I was thinking orange juice as well. This changes everything.
Glad to know we shared that thought.
Okay,
so it was grape juice. Don't ferment it? I don't know.
Yes, basically the warning was telling customers how not to turn their grape juice into wine. So it was like, oh no, if you follow these instructions, you might accidentally have wine. That would be terrible. So in the Prohibition era, vineyards turned their produce into bricks of grape juice, which were entirely legal to sell. Two such warnings included, warning, after dissolving the brick in a gallon of water, do not place the liquid in a jug in the cupboard for 20 days, because then it would turn into wine, which is hilarious. Well, the other warning that they would put on it was to prevent fermentation, add 0.1% of benzoate of soda.
So in case you actually wanted juice, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
You could just eat it.
There's one guy who just really likes grape juice and is just confused. What? Oh, I don't want to do that.
I'm so drunk right now. What's happening?
I love that first warning. It is so blatant. Like, I thought it might be something like a little bit more cloaked, but it was genuinely like, oh no. It would be terrible if you did this.
I think it's just, it was the use of the word jug that did it for me, where I was like, is this a real warning?
For me, it was that Taha said that he knew the answer. So then I was like, ah, must be about oranges.
That's actually true. My favorite, I love orange juice. I consume about a liter a day. I have a bag of clementines a day. I love oranges.
Have you tried putting it in a jug under the cupboard for 20 days?
I was told not to do that.
One final thing then. We had a listener question to the audience at the start of the show. Thank you to Asghar Harpath Mola. What is known in Swahili as a kipelefti? Anyone want to take a guess at that before I give the answer?
I just instinctively think football.
Oh. I heard the word lefty and then something me at the too. Front. So I was just like, an ambidextrous person.
It's kippy lefty.
Is it derogatory?
Not at all.
Why would that be in the show?
Why would Tom
decide to put it in the show?
To ask questions about slurs. The question writers don't tend to put those together. I'm sure we could come up with some if we really wanted to.
Oh, like, my God.
Like banned on the internet. You know what? The last episode of the show, when I just want to get cancelled, we'll just have a whole section.
That's so funny.
No, it's not.
Melissa's
just sat there like... Head in hands. I'm sorry for like rinsing you for that suggestion. It was hilarious and thank you for saying it, but
I didn't really explain that, but okay.
Okay.
Kipper lefty, it's something that drivers would encounter.
Okay.
Is it an animal?
No left turn.
A U-turn. A roundabout.
A roundabout. Is the right answer. Yes, a roundabout or a traffic circle in Swahili. The word for more than one of them is vipi lefty, because in Swahili, plurals change the start of the word.
Very neat. That.
So that is our show. Thank you very much to the entire Answer in Progress team. Last time it was Taha that did the outro for y'all. Sabrina, Melissa, I'm going to leave this to both of you. Good luck.
We are Answer in Progress. We make YouTube videos where we... ask questions and stumble our way to the answer. Melissa, what should they do?
They should watch the videos and watch us stumble and sometimes get the answer, but usually stumble. It's a fun journey. Watch videos like, wow, look at these fake buildings. That's so interesting. We said this on the last
one. You guys are so bad at this. This is
why we leave it to you.
Melissa, where can they find you?
You can find us at youtube.com/ Answer in Progress. I'm not going to spell
it.
I was going for the URL and I stopped. I stopped immediately. YouTube.com/ Answer in Progress.
And if you want to know more about this show or send an idea for a question yourself, you can do that at lateralcast.com. We are at lateralcast on pretty much every bit of social media, and you can get video highlights every week at youtube.com/lateralcast. Thank you very much to Sabrina Cruz.
Whoa.
Melissa Fernandez.
Woo!
Taha Khan.
Yahoo!
We are our own studio audience.
Yay! I'm Tom Scott, and this has been Lateral.
Woo!